You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
Bison fans, and welcome back to the Bison Report Radio Podcast, brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum, joining us today. Once again, Blake Ingebrigtsen. Blake, how are you, man?
Doing great. You know, home opener this week, 2-0 in the books for the Bison, and it's a good time of year. Get back to the Dome here soon, and well, pretty shortly, and get back to it, you know. Raise the banner, check out the new white unis, and get that place rocking.
Absolutely. All right. So let's dive in. Maybe a shorter show today. Diving into the news, it has been reported that NDSU will get $1.25 million guaranteed to play in that 2027 Las Vegas game. That, of course, is exciting news. One of the bigger pieces of news, I think, for the program, though, in general, that 10-day portal, that's huge. I know Polasek is excited. It probably puts a little bit more pressure on kids to make a decision, but, Blake, that's got to be a positive.
Yeah, he said, I mean, we wanted one window, and you saw what it did last spring, not just NDSU, but the whole Valley.
Right.
I mean, USD got thrashed
in
April.
Yep.
But, you know, from the NDSU side, Marty Brown's gone.
Cody Heisman's gone. Right.
Enoch's gone.
Yeah, you think you've made it through the storm. You think you've rallied your NIL troops. You think you've done all the deals that you need to do. And then the second portal comes in and takes three all-conference players away from you. I'm with you 100%. Chris Harris, good news on his foot. He's got plantar fasciitis. That's a very painful thing. I hope people don't understand or don't believe that that's like minor, because it's not minor. But you can play through it or heal from it reasonably soon. Jones fracture is a much more serious thing, and that's what they're worried about, and that's what he does not have. Silas Evans has a meniscus. He will be out for the year. And young defensive tackle Jack Hansen has an ACL. He will be out for the year. Silas, from no comment on him as a player, but that room is deeper than deep. So that loss is highly sustainable. And we hadn't seen him do much yet anyway, but the wide receiver room has, I mean, you got your Logan Conklins that we haven't even seen yet. You've got, I mean, there's dudes, St. Romain, there are guys, right, in the wide receiver room that aren't even getting touches now. From when you talk about like Mekhi Collins and where he could be at this time. And anyway, before I get too deep down the road, but Jack Hansen, that's one where it's interesting because Obi from Iowa State doesn't look like he's going to play a ton, right? And they're already, they're not going to redshirt Elijah Wayne. It's just it's not going to happen. So that defensive tackle room is thin. You know, I don't think they were ready to lose Cody Heisman, and they're playing fine, but you just wouldn't want to see another D-tackle body go down, and Jack Hansen did.
No, I mean, injuries are, they suck. So it sucks for Silas and Hansen. It just does, you know, to have knee injuries like that and I get to play. You know, it's got to be tough for them, but from the depth piece, it probably hurts, but they'll be all right at yeah. both of those spots. Yep. Even if Chris Harris, even if it did not go well, which thankfully for him appears to be,
right.
you know, being able to get back. Like you said, there's so much in that room. Jackson Williams is probably wide receiver 5 to start the year, and now he's 4, which is just insane.
Yeah. Like I said, Mekhi, Jackson Williams, Rajah, yeah. Bryce, Chris Harris, Logan Conklin. I mean, you can keep going and going and going and going and going. St. Romain. I mean, literally, like, yeah. you just keep going. Pro Bison update. Gray Zabel and Jalen Sundell starting center guard for Seattle. Very, very cool stuff. I think I know that Seattle's other center was fighting some stuff, but I think Jalen just won the job. I don't think he's giving it back. I'll put it to you that way. I think Jalen Sundell is going to be your center. The Seahawks losing an absolute heartbreaker to the 49ers, who had no business winning that game, and now are in deep trouble with Brock Purdy out with turf toe for 2 to 5 weeks. No Kittle, no Purdy. I think no scoring for San Francisco, but we'll see. This is not a Niners podcast, I guess. Speaking of the Niners, Marquise Siegel starting as an undrafted safety and getting a fumble recovery in his first game. So that's pretty awesome. Not something that you see every day. Or was he drafted?
He was a day 3.
Day 3.
Round 5 or 6, I don't remember.
Okay. But starting as a rookie doesn't happen all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if he used day 3 or UDFA. And then Christian Watson gets a 1-year contract extension with the Packers. Guys, for those of you that know, I think I do Green Bay stuff as well as NDSU. I've got a video breaking down the whole Christian thing on the pack-a-day, like cigarettes, basically. But the pack-a-day is a daily podcast and YouTube channel covering the Green Bay Packers that I contribute to. There is a whole video of me breaking down the Christian Watson extension. If that is something that you, as a Bison fan, who may or may not care about the Green Bay Packers, want to see, it is over there. Doing this on a Thursday afternoon, probably getting it to all of you on a Friday morning, so we're going to be real brief with our Tennessee State recap. 59-3 is the 6th largest win since 2011. I thought Bison Nation traveled well. I wasn't down there. All reports seemed that it was a nice little vacay. My folks were down there. They had family that they met. Did not seem like a Tennessee State home game, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it even sounded like it over the TV. You know, like on a third down early in the game, you could hear some rumblings from the Bison contingents. And yeah, it looked like they took over the town on Friday. And is that something to see again in a few months?
So what I asked. I asked my folks. I said, did you find all the sweet spots for January? But, I assume everybody had a great time. And like I said on last week's show, I mean, this is the answer to the problem that's being put in front of them of no one wants to play you. And your response to that is, well, then we'll play someone who will agree to play us in a cool place. Whether that's Eastern Washington at U.S. Bank, Tennessee State at the Titan Stadium, or Montana State in Nashville. Who do they put? Montana State?
Yes.
I can't remember what the
Vegas,
fatal four-way in Vegas, whatever, how they came up with the machinations of who's going to play. But, that game, I mean, that's how you have to do it, I think, until you either move up or somebody agrees to play you. Because there has to be something, I think, for fans to kind of hook onto. As much juice as Polisek brings by himself, I think people get really excited about games like that. Tennessee State did not record a first down in the first half. They had 4 total first downs. And the story to me, though, was NDSU's offense. Lots of new athletes in from the portal for Tennessee State. NFL, Super Bowl, et cetera, hashtag Bountygate, all those things, Greg Williams, and NDSU just over and over and over again, obviously to the tune of 59 points, 3 rushing touchdowns for Barica. Just not a good showing for Tennessee State's defense.
No, it wasn't. And like we talked about in the pod last week, you can have this guy who knows ball, right?
Yeah.
But if you don't have the personnel for that, and we talked about, I forget the word we used, but just overloading the roster, 83 departures, you got what you got.
Yeah, wholesaling the roster, yeah.
Yes,
it's impossible. Or not impossible, but and really South Dakota State didn't do it either. I mean, South Dakota State did not bring in a new roster after losing as many guys as they did. They just promoted from within, basically. And that's been a more successful thing. At least 74 guys played in each of the first two games. Code Green right now, 126 yards per game, and they have only given up 12 first downs. They are yet to surrender a touchdown through eight quarters. So that is impressive. Let's dive in. SEMO, home opener, raising the banner. I thought that was interesting. The way Polisek that this group had nothing to do with that championship. Yeah. Like, I don't know about that.
But I know what he's doing.
I know what he's doing. It's the old Jim Cramer stuff of you dare wear championship merchandise in this locker room. You are not permitted to do that. But to tell Trent Fraley and Griffin Empey that they had nothing to do with last year's championship, I don't know. You can certainly have that conversation. I'm not going to. To tell Toby and Nena and Darius Gibbons that is like, that's somebody else's ring. It's my ring. It's on my finger, but I digress. Speaking of rings, first 3,000 fans get a ring. I got to try to get a ring. I don't even know, how I'm going to try to accomplish that. You see that?
I did see that. I didn't see what the ring looked like, though.
It's a replica of the ring.
Like the,
No diamonds or gold, but
No, that's cool. Nonetheless, that's cool.
Anyway, new uniforms. Everybody knows I'm a Nike guy. Everybody knows I'm not thrilled with what has occurred here. I don't love them. We'll see what they look like in person. Here's my beef with the whiteout uniforms, period. I believe NDSU's yellow, at least when they read Nike, was called cornflower. People know what yellow I'm talking about. Yellow, the yellow that's on your shirt, the yellow that's on whatever. It's the goldish yellow that NDSU uses. It clashes like crazy with Vegas gold. And the numbers are Vegas gold, and the wheat shock on the top of the helmet is Vegas gold. And I just wish they would have gone one way or the other. And obviously, if they would have not used any of the gold, the uniforms wouldn't be that different. You know what I mean? Like they'd be, you basically would have whipped out white pants and been like, oh, this is a whiteout uniform, right? I just wish they would have gone with gold stripes then. Gold stripes, all gold helmet. Not all gold, but I mean like get rid of the cornflower, get rid of the yellow if you're going to do this uniform and just do gold.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because they clash. Yellow and gold clash. They don't look good together. That's my, and we'll see if they look better in person. I'm willing to go there. But, the much requested uniform review, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I've been told that they look better in person.
I'm willing to see. Yeah. I'm willing to see.
So I hope those accounts are true, but we'll see.
I just wouldn't put yellow and gold together. That's my thing. Loss at FBS Arkansas State, and they beat North Alabama. Picked third in the OVC preseason poll, as I mentioned, will mention, I can't remember when this show's coming out, when my radio show is, a lot of pre-recording going on these days, but I do believe that they are the defending OVC champions, picked third in the preseason poll this year, did not win a playoff game last year, but I do believe were OVC champs. 6'8". 250-pound, former three-star, Jax Leatherwood. What a name.
That's
A-plus stuff.
That's a football name right there.
Jax Leatherwood. That is tremendous. This is just now coming across my desk that this is the young man's name. I have not, it's Thursday, I haven't watched the tape on SEMO yet. My goodness, that's impressive. Anyway, he was committed to Nevada, did some JUCO stuff. Last year, he, they, them, DeLaurent threw the ball 48 times a game, including one game with 85 attempts. Is it the same coordinator?
That I do not know.
Okay.
I do not know that, but yeah, 80, it was the playoff game against Illinois State. Threw for 500 yards, five picks.
That's crazy.
But yeah, 85 passing attempts. I mean, for those of you who in the area who follow MSUM football, you know, they throw the ball a ton.
Yeah.
Same deal. I mean, they just rip it. Throw the ball.
Throw it.
Yep.
Throw it to set up, throwing it more. Is this the game the secondary gets a challenge? That's a huge question for me. And not a question in that I'm not excited, because I think they've got three or four really good corners and three really good safeties. I this is as deep as they've been in the secondary in a while, because I like Crum. In fact, I think they might have four safeties, depending on how people feel about Ryan Jones, because I really like Crumby. I really like Givens. I really like Edie. And if you like Steady Eddie Ryan Jones, then they've got four safeties. And then you got to feel good about Chiquise and Duffy and Tony. And Antoine Booth and Najee Nelson are not exciting, but you feel really good about those top three corners, I think. So I'm really excited about a team that could throw it 60 times if they get down big. That would be a nice challenge for NDSU's defense.
Yeah, they do have the guys. Like, I've talked about this with people this week, like, oh, well, you know, the secondary hasn't been challenged or anything like that. I'm like, well, no, they haven't, but not worried about it. Or I wouldn't be worried about it if I were.
Also, I don't know who's going to challenge them, because if you believe South Dakota State's the second best team in the country, their guy doesn't throw.
Right. So I think for what they're going to be faced up against, as far as, you know, attempts and opposing passing game, they'll hold up well, because like you said, they are deep.
Yeah.
It was a question last year at this point, for sure.
Trial by fire, man. That's how they got deep.
Yeah. The plan was not to start Darius Givens and Ryan Jones in week 9 or whatever it was. It was supposed to be.
And there they were.
It was supposed to be two other guys who both had season-ending injuries and left. So, and they're young too, right? I believe Ryan Jones is the only senior.
Yeah, Crumby's young. Edie's super young. Givens is still kind of young. Yep.
So, and the cornerback room is really no different. I mean, Tony's old.
Yeah.
He's
old. Old. Grad student old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unk. But, no, I mean, Booth might be a senior, but I gotta like what they have there. And, yeah, this if there's going to be a test, it'll probably be this week.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited to watch it, because as we have written down here, the rushing game, not much of a threat. 3.4 yards per carry and on low volume. They don't run it well, and they don't run it well. So that's something that will be different, because even as not great, however you want to phrase it, even as not scared as you may have been by the Citadel and Tennessee State, they both still wanted to run the ball. That's what they wanted to do. Simo probably wants to throw it. Can the O-line hold up? Will the defense put up a fight? I don't know about that. Starting tackles have allowed 11 pressures through two games. They're going to pin their ears and go. 5 out of 13 passing under pressure through two games. But it's the old Roethlisberger thing. It's also a Carson Wentz thing. You get there and you can't get him down, or he shakes. Even just honestly turning a sack into an incomplete pass, shaking off one guy and dirting it at the foot of a receiver can save you 7 yards and keep you in it. So that inability to bring guys down. And of course, the most frustrating thing is when he shakes like two guys and he's 140 yards downfield like Roethlisberger used to do. This, though, I think you have to be, you can't overrun your rush. You have to have a plan to bring him down when you get there, which you already had to have a plan to beat the tackle and get to him. So it's complicated, and I understand that.
Yeah. You got me thinking about Vintage Ben, man. Steelers fan, I just couldn't stop thinking about Mike Wallace highlights for a minute there.
Well, just remember that he lost to the Packers.
Yeah, okay. I lost my train of thought now. Pressures are a good thing. They are a good thing. And if he does some crazy stuff like that and he's finding his dudes 30 yards downfield, well, then that's not great. But getting in his face, getting him to spike into the dirt, throw it away, even if you're not bringing his big body to the ground, just getting to him is at least something, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Their defense, though, man, and I know there's an FBS game in here, but allowing 466 yards per game, that is substantial. They're giving up 5.5 a carry. So even though, and is Simo ranked?
No, they're getting votes.
They're receiving votes. So in theory, they're a top 28, 29, 30, 31 team in the country. If you're receiving votes, that's kind of where you're at.
Yeah. Yes.
This still seems like a problem to me for Simo, in the sense that, like, if you were looking for a score that looks super different than Citadel and Tennessee State, I don't know if you're going to get one. And I mentioned it last week when speaking about Tennessee State, that myself included, folks were overly optimistic going into the ETSU game. I just don't think this is that, man. Especially home opener, banner raising, new uniforms, all of the vibe things that you can talk about. I think it might get ugly. NDSU, if you're giving up 5.5 5.5 per on the ground, dude, the Bison are getting 7. They just are. I mean, that's the NDSU tax, right? And I don't know how in the world Simo's going to stop him. I just don't. And I think there's an opportunity, as you mentioned here on the outline, I think there's an opportunity to rotate offensive linemen and continue to try to find the five, or at least continue to try to give guys reps.
Yeah, I mean, if like you said, if you're getting 5.5 a clip on the ground, we've seen the way Barica's been running with a purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, he's running kind of like Marty was last year. I mean,
Tim called Marty a certain player.
Yeah, I'm like, come on now.
Oh my God.
But no, I would agree. I just, in what way is Simo going to stop this offense?
Yeah.
They're just not. So I want to see the O-line again. I think I know what it's going to be when it gets to 5, because eventually it will, regardless of what people say. Like, it's,
yep, I know. Yeah,
there's going to be 5. But can the depth keep pushing Tasted and Megan and those guys? That's kind of what I want to see. So I don't see anyone slowing down, frankly.
Yeah, I'm gonna fire off first with my prediction. I guess Bison 41, Simo 7. NDSU gives up their first touchdown of the year, probably on a pass. I don't know. I want to give Simo. I think Simo's a better team than Tennessee State. Like, I think if Simo and Tennessee State played, Simo wins and maybe handily. With that said, they still match up like crap with the Bison, and you still might get a similar result, even though I think Simo's a better football team than Tennessee State.
Right, exactly. And I was just looking around. NDSU hasn't lost a regular season home non-conference game in 22 years. Okay. The D2 era.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You can look it up. UC Davis. It's been that kind of deal. And they're not beating this Bison team regardless.
So they've never lost a Division I non-conference home game.
Correct.
Non-playoffs, obviously, because they lost to JMU. Yeah,
that is the right? Only one at home in that time. Only one.
That's crazy.
And if I'm wrong, somebody please tell me.
Yeah.
Because I spent some time looking this up.
I bet you did.
But it's that kind of dominance at home against non-Valley teams. And I think they're going to get a little bit of a wake-up call. And I don't think it's going to be close. Like you said, I got 49-10.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Blake, for being here. Thank each and every one of you for listening. As always, if you get a chance, please subscribe and become a VIP at Bison Report. All sorts of exclusive links and access and articles and things you don't get if you're not one of those. Plus, it's the best way to support Blake and I here at Bison Report. Thank you so much to one of our biggest supporters, and that would be Gateway Chevrolet. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Bison.